to Between Our Sundays.
This is Kenny.
And this is Chrissy, where we share real life with real people while serving a real God.
Well, we made it to episode 20.
Woohoo! Episode 20.
We are now a statistic.
That says that the podcast is going to make it now.
Apparently the podcast is going to make it in some level or form because we got to number 20.
Sweet. We should probably do a better job of getting to these numbers faster, but you know.
So we're almost at, I think it's practically been a year.
We're not quite at a year because we started right at our anniversary last year.
Okay.
Because that was like our...
But it's been a good while. We've had a good run at this. We've
had long-term consistency. That's pretty impressive.
We have got that out of the way. We are in the 28th, if I got my day right, of October. It is my baby brother's birthday today. So happy birthday to my littlest of brother, who's not so little anymore. And we've got just the fall season is officially here. We are obviously South Alabamians. It's not supposed to be cold, but it is cold.
It is. It went from really, really hot to like nose running cold. And now my favorite time of the year is fireplace time.
I did light the fireplace today.
The fireplace is on. So now we can put up the Christmas tree.
Deal. Yeah, the Christmas tree for me is good all year.
So everyone hears that you will get it out of the attic.
You never had to beg me to put the Christmas tree up. I don't like taking it apart.
When are you going to do that then?
I think this weekend would be a great time. We have extra children coming in. We have hands of love and hands of labor. And we could sit back and point.
We do have one that has a broken back, so we're down one.
I mean, she can do something.
Maybe I guess we should probably update because we haven't podcasted since. I mean, this last week has been full of a lot of...
We've had a lot of discovery.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I guess since the cats were a little, screaming out of the bag, with that one, we've had our one of our kiddos here, our middle one, and she has been had some pain for a while. So we finally submitted to... moving and transitioning from suck it up to, okay, we'll go get it checked out. That resulted in a couple x-rays, some MRIs, and then some results that said, oh, by the way, you do have a fracture in your back. And she just left the doctor's office with us here a little bit ago with her back brace that she has to wear for about the next 6 to 8 weeks, if all goes well, and then more if it doesn't go well. So to paint the picture a little bit, our middle one is our athlete in the house. She does a multitude of sports. This year she's been in girls flag football, which is a blooming program in our local community, a blooming program across a lot of districts. But she's had an amazing time to watch her grow into something that she's never done. We don't watch football other than just for the sheer entertainment value. I couldn't call a play in football if you asked me to. I can barely name the positions. I just watch, people hit people and go, man, that looked like it hurt. But now we got a kid who transitioned from that into, she can pick out every play and tell you strategy behind what's going on. And it's kind of
she's really good at it too.
It's kind of fun to watch her turn into a bit of a sports fiend and a coach. And it's just been, I think it's been good for her. Cause sure, her typical has been softball.
Softball.
That's where she's hung her hat, pun intended there, for some time. And I mean, she's also very good at that. But we've been out of season for that because that season is just now on the very front side. So where was it going with that? The team's done very well in flag football. I think they're doing some championship stuff right now and going through that, which is a very big first for the program.
Starts next, I want to say next week, they go to playoffs.
Yeah. But she's pulled off the line. And so now she has to be the biggest cheerleader.
Which
and
she is doing so she well.
She is. It's a very special place to be in to realize that are you with the team when you no longer can still play with the team. It really shows where your heart was. Were you there for yourself or were you there for the picture? And there's a life lesson in that too. If we just, not that this was where this was going at all, but sometimes when you can no longer be an active member of the process, do you still stay in the mess of what's going on with the team and support them holistically?
For
sure. Or when it's no longer beneficial for you, do you abandon, jump ship and like, hey guys, good luck. Have a good one. This has been a great run, but I'm not getting anything out of this, so I've got to go.
Right.
You know, and that's a big part. That's an important lesson.
It was really cool to listen to her this afternoon. You know, she got home from school and we got the call today that her brace was in, and she's really been anxiously waiting because we got fitted for this brace last week, and she's been very anxious to get into this brace so the healing can begin. And the doctor did see that her back is trying to heal. So this brace is just going to isolate her spine so that it's minimal movement. And I think it's going to force her to stop doing some things that without this brace, she's still able to do, but it's just going to be a constant reminder to take it easy.
Gosh, but, you know, and I'm sorry, I'm going to let you keep going there for a second, but there was an instant picture for me. Like, you're describing what I know, I can see it because I was with you at the doctor's office. You're describing this body wrap, this brace. But I'm listening to the words you're saying. This thing isolates, this thing protects, this thing limits, this thing reminds. And all I keep thinking to myself is, it's kind of like the Holy Spirit. It's kind of like when it comes and wraps itself around you. God puts his hands around you and says, I'm here to protect you. I'm here to limit your movement a little bit because I don't want you there right now because you're going to hurt yourself. Or if you keep doing what you're doing and you don't wrap me around you, you're going to injure yourself even more. Or you can put me around you. You can suit up right now. I'll limit your movement a little bit, but I will be a constant reminder. This piece around you, me, will be a constant reminder of what is holding fast for you.
Yeah.
But go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's a great analogy and kind of goes into listening to her tonight. It was really cool to just listen to her talking about softball practice, because they had their first team softball practice yesterday. And obviously, you know, that she has already shared with the coaches that she's not able to do anything. And she's like, but Mama, I still wanted to hear what the coach had to say. He was kind of going through each of the players and talking to the whole team, but kind of helping guide each of the players. And she's like, I want my ears to be open, my eyes to be open, so that once I get back on that field, I'm able to apply all of this wisdom and knowledge that the coach is sharing with the team. And she's like, and not everyone who is injured and not playing has that same mentality. You know, she's like, I moved down to the other side of the wall so that I could hear what he was saying, so that even though I'm not able to get on the actual field and do those things, I'm still listening. And I think in times when you know, this last week has been full of a lot of trials, I think not necessarily in us specifically, but around us, there's a lot of friends and family who are enduring heavy situations. And sometimes we're not in a position. God doesn't put us on the field to play, but he does put us in a position to listen to him, to pray, to work on ourselves spiritually, to be able to be there and be the cheerleaders for our teams, our friends, our families, whatever that looks like.
But, you know, just like you said, your everyday walk, the time to learn the skill, the time to hone yourself, the time to educate is not when you're about to walk onto the field, when you're in the battle, when you're in the fight. That's not when the learning portion begins. That's not when you got to figure it out. Exercise and practice and dedication to your skill, your craft, happens well before that point.
Right.
And as Christians, it's the same way. When you get to the battle, when the spiritual warfare begins, when you're in the moment, that's not the time to figure out, I wonder where I should go for this resource or this help. It's staying in the word and staying grounded and having your circle close to you each and every day.
Right.
So that when the attacks come, and they will, that you're like, I got this. I see this clear as day. I can see your schemes. I hear you. I know what you're doing. And I'm not going to fall subject or prey to that because of this. And this is this word or the spirit of the word that I'm going to use to fight that.
Right.
The same thing for people in your circle. When you're approached, when you have people that want to draw close to you because they need somebody. If you're sharp and you've been staying sharp, you immediately know which way to point.
Right.
Your compass isn't spinning off of its wheel right now, waiting for a direction to point somebody else. You're like, no, no, check this out. God put this in my place today. I didn't really understand it, but I feel like it was for you right now.
Right.
Or for us to share.
Right.
And so I think that's been a very powerful position to kind of understand, is that this isn't a as needed. This isn't a medicine bottle that sits that when I feel pain, now I take the aspirin and I wait for the effects to come in for relief. This is a multivitamin. This is your everyday thing that you're putting in to your ecosystem, into your routine, so that you're constantly fighting off the things that are trying to get after you, and you're strengthening and forging your system. And that's a very different approach, because you can go after it case by case, but sometimes it's much better just be armored now.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think it's God preparing our hearts in whatever season that we're in to be able to, because God already knows who's coming before us. He knows who he is placing in our paths, whether it be next week, next month, next year. So the work being done today is in preparation for whatever God has coming our way. And I think it's sometimes we can struggle to see that in our own lives, but watching it play out in our children's lives is something that's kind of cool to see the spirit of our child, who she's probably the hardest of them. Like she's me. She really is. And I now have this recorded in proof that I've admitted this out loud, that she is my little mini me. But she's tough and she's hard headed and she's very independent. And she's the, I'm going to push harder. I'm going to do all the things. She has the biggest heart of any of our children. Like all three of our children are wonderful, but Maddie has heart in a way that is just, she's going to find a way. She's going to find a way to do whatever it is that she needs to do to be successful. And she's her own worst enemy, in that she puts these expectations on herself. So this is an opportunity for her to step back and play a different role that is mental, is spiritual, is emotional. She's a physical kid. She's an athlete. She plays sports. She's very active. So to take that away from her and to pause her, she's now going to have to go to these other skills and hone in on them and refine them. And I think that God's doing this for a reason right now. I can see the well-roundedness that this is already just in a week producing in her. And think about how
it will humble you very quickly.
Absolutely.
And she would hear us say this, and I'm not ashamed to say this about her, because I would say this to her and have, but just like she gets her toughness, I think, from you, she gets her arrogance, I think, from me. And I'm not too bold to admit that, because I can find my air of arrogance rapidly. And you know, we see it sometimes, and sometimes we've had to be very diligent to speak with her and say, hey kiddo, you know,
there's a fine line between confidence and arrogance.
Take it down a notch, because you're right now, you're borderline on, you know, prideful. Mm-hmm. And that's not gonna win any battles long term with you. So I definitely think that she's seeing some of that perspective.
But think about how God does that in our own lives. You know, it's like when he challenges us to step outside of our comfort zones, to find and grow in skills and areas that maybe we didn't know we even needed. It's like in the space of being obedient, In a heart of obedience and in servanthood and wanting to do as God is calling us to do, how often do we find ourselves in places that are uncomfortable? And that's where we grow. And it helps us to become better humans, better people, because then we can go in once we've worked through a season of trial or conflict or hardship, or even just new, something different. we come out with a new set of skills. We come through with a new set of perspectives and ways to talk to people, ways to approach people, ways to communicate. And maybe it's new skills of things that, wow, I really enjoyed doing that. Or I really enjoyed, let's think about where this podcast started a year ago. Like, this podcast started, I still to this day can tell you where I was when the vision came to me in a drive to Montgomery by myself. I can remember exactly where I was in the road when I was driving and texting. Yes, I shouldn't have been doing that. And I said to you, I just had a vision of us doing a podcast. And here we are,
and
almost.
The Amazon boxes started showing up.
They did. And here we are almost a year later. And it's probably, I think we had that conversation several weeks before we started the podcast. So I'm quite sure we're about at that year mark of now look at the passion that has come from, let's do a podcast. We just want to share our marriage. We want to share our testimony. We want to share life. And we just want to share it really authentically. Like, this is who we are. We're not any different. If you meet us outside, you know, I was having a conversation with some other business owners today that I think are great people, and I can see us growing into friends as we get to know each other, and just sharing that authenticity and the genuineness that this is who we are. This is just who we are. You get exactly us. There was a time in our life when what happened in our home was hidden and was you didn't want to talk about it.
We wanted you to see what we wanted you to see, and while there was probably some truth that existed in what you saw, it was definitely scoped or definitely filtered based on what we were willing to let out of the bag.
It really wasn't pretty at all. And I can remember that season of our life so vividly. And I just sit here, close my eyes, and I can feel the sadness and the anxiety that came with those years of living in.
But we didn't get anything out of that because we were working so hard to mask. There was probably a mass majority of people that bypassed that could have otherwise helped, but they're like, well, you guys look like you're okay. At least you tell me you're okay, because every time I ask you, you say you're mm-hmm. fine and you move on. Well, I mean, you can't blame another person or people for
nobody knew the struggle
because you told them you were okay.
We were too prideful to let people in because, you know, you had to be perfect. You had to portray that you had it all together, and you know, successful in business, successful in your military career, you know, the fear of, oh my gosh, if you struggle, then how is that going to affect your career? Or how are people going to view us if they see us having problems? And this was a point in our life where we were having a lot of struggles in figuring out how to parent and just how to manage life. We had so much on our plate, from, you know, being in college to deployments to young children, three of them going all over in different directions, a farm of donkeys and chickens and goats, and, you know, all of these things that weren't all bad. It was just a lot. And I took a lot of that on myself. And I was pursuing a career in which I absolutely loved. But then I struggled with being a mom because I really wanted to be there for my kids. And it was just this, we were fighting all the time. I was short with the kids. I wasn't happy with myself, you know, the way I looked, the way I felt. Just there was so much going on inside of me that I didn't sleep. I couldn't get medications right. I was too prideful to go to counseling or therapy. So thank the Lord for our family doctor that was, I was just able to see and work through and get the things that I needed. But I wasn't okay. I wasn't okay. And I don't even know how we just ventured off into this, but where we are now is a place that is, there's so much freedom and peace in knowing that we can talk about our past. We can talk about the poor choices that we've made that God has redeemed and used for His glory. We can talk about the hard places in our life that led us here.
There's so much less stress in just acknowledging who you really are and accepting where you really are. And there seems to be a line of thinking that, you know, hey, I'm good enough just like I am. God's going to love me just like I am. And that is absolutely true. But at some point, you also have to realize that the beginning part is God loves me as I am. And then He says, but I've got something more for you.
Yes.
And in order to get from where you are to get to the more, He's got to be the vehicle that does that. Like, there's some stuff you'll do. I mean, He's not just going to magic move you around the space. You are obviously involved in the process.
And we have to make decisions to work through, you know, there as a new Christian. And it's kind of interesting to say that because, you know, I think we can go through our lives saying, oh, yeah, I believe in God. Oh, yeah, I believe in God. I grew up in church and, you know, was baptized as a young kid. And yes, I believed in God. It wasn't until 4 years ago that I started having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Like, that's the difference now, is that I read the word and I want to be more like Jesus. I want to be more obedient. I want to be more like what He calls us to be. And that isn't an overnight change. It took a really long time to work through the shame and the forgiving myself for a lot of poor choices as a mother, forgiving myself for a lot of poor choices as a wife, and realizing that when we're in the processes of breaking generational cycles within our families, it's not just one generation. Like, we're going back multiple generations when we can look beyond what's going on. Like, it's such a process. We don't get where we're at overnight, and we don't get to where God has us going overnight either. So to see the growth in the last several years from taking control of our spiritual walks and making that commitment to build our family on a foundation rooted in Him, all the way to taking a hold and control over our physical health. And that's something that in 20 podcasts now, I don't know that we have really honed in on the importance of our physical health and appearance and how we carry ourselves and how important it is to take care of our bodies. Doesn't mean that we're perfect and that we don't ingest caffeine and sugar way too much, but
we're a lot better than we were.
Kinda. We've just changed our vices a little bit from Diet Mountain Dew to Monster. Really, if anybody from Monster is listening, I could be an ambassador for your guava Monster. I'm actually going to take a picture of myself and my nighttime guava Monster, and I'm going to post it on Between Our Sundays on Facebook. Check it out.
And she's really doing it.
I am really doing it.
And so, you know, the reason all this is so fresh on our mind right now is, if we're being honest, and again, we've never promise to be anything but just kind of open and honest, we've had a couple trying weeks. Not trying because there's been anything life catastrophic for us in particular. We've had some some things occur. You know, we kind of, you know, introduce a few of those with, you know, with some kid unfortunate isms and things like that. But we're seeing a season right now of just a lot of turmoil, a lot of, yeah, of things. And it's hard sometimes to wonder, you know, in our close circle, in our own life, and then in the lives of those that we are close to, you know, if we're all doing the right things and we are all, you know, serving the same God, why are these tough times here? Why do they exist? And it's not that we live on this earth to not have tough times. You know, we had an amazing sermon this past week, and, you know, Paul got to write quite a bit of the Bible, and one of the entire books that he wrote was from prison. And when he's writing this book from prison, I believe it was Philippians, if I'm not mistaken, when he's writing this, he's not in a great place. Like, he is in a place that he's being completely, you know, beat down. And as such, the only thing that he is continuing to tell everybody in his word that he's writing is, hey, take heart, take hold, do the good things, keep running the race, keep moving forward, keep smiling. People are watching. You have got to maintain a focus and a focal point on God and Jesus, and you have to be the beacons. You have to be the banner man and women here, because if people see you just absolutely run down and your life looks like it's just all the time sucky, how are you going to be able to message that against Christianity or a Christ relationship? And then, like, I want a piece of that. Like, no, I want nothing to do with that.
Right.
And so it was a very big game changer, because we've had a couple podcasts, I think, that we've sort of kind of danced around the product or the process of gratitude in our own life. But guys, I don't think we can overemphasize the level of impact that positivity and gratitude will have in your overall life. The bad stuff will never stop. And the reason the bad stuff never stops is because we have an enemy that's constantly on the prowl, trying to find things to disrupt us from God's plan and God's mission for us.
Well, and that's the part too that I think was in another message in the last few weeks, and finding the it's like being honored to have the attacks coming, because that means we're on the right path with God. Like, Satan's attacking because the attacks are coming because we are on a path of righteousness to doing the things that God's calling us to do. So of course the enemy wants to come along and get us distracted and focused on, whether it be health ailments or sickness or emotional drama or whatever the case, we're faced with those because we're on the right track, and what an honor. So be grateful. I don't want to say be grateful for the attacks, because I sure don't enjoy them. But sometimes I sit back and I just have to chuckle sometimes. But the truth is that I've allowed some of the heaviness around us to get to me too. And I think I had a moment at the end of last week where we were on our way to a football game, and I'm like, Kenny, I'm just angry. Like, everything's making me angry. And Satan knows that anger is my default emotion. And I have to be very intentional, as I've been breaking cycles within our family, being intentional not to go directly to anger. And in those moments, you allowed me to speak, you allowed me to share, and you just listened. And I think in the moment I was really annoyed, but as the time went on and the space was safe, it was okay for me to work through and process those things. And I'm really leaning into God in these moments over the last week, and all of the heaviness, to allow myself to not respond immediately, to go first into the word and into prayer before I'm responding to people, before I'm responding in situations that we are ambassadors for Christ.
Well, there's the art of the pause, right?
Yes.
And that's what we're learning, is that sometimes the answer in the moment is actually no answer at all.
For sure.
There are times when you can roll it off. Hey, I got exactly the word that's coming out. It's here. It's ready. It's boom. And sometimes you're in an absolute position to be able to be a reflection for somebody because you, it doesn't matter the why, but sometimes you can get it right there. But I would think more times, and you'll have to examine that, a lot of times it's going to come at usually the trigger point of offense.
Yes.
Giving that back, Satan will immediately get into the point of like, okay, I got you. So let me see how good you are. Let me see how sharp your sword is. I'm going to lob this at you. I'm going to get your spirit offended. And then I want to see what comes out of you.
And that's kind of what happened in a situation last week where it was like some information was shared and it was semi personal. And I took it very personal. And I wanted to defend my family. I wanted to immediately defend what it was that I felt someone had a wrong impression of us. And it really hurt my feelings, number one. Number two, I quickly jumped into something that God says in the word, let him be the ultimate judge, not me. So I need not fight to defend when I know our hearts and intentions are in the right space. And if people doubt that or people question that, then maybe they don't really know who we are. And that's sad, but that's also reality. If people are questioning our, if people are questioning our intentions or our, we have nothing to gain from sharing God's word with anybody. So if that's being questioned, maybe we have to step back and really identify relationships. And I think that's the part too, that it's the way things have been lined up over the last week. It's just been a lot of heaviness and being cautious with how each circumstances dealt with is so crucial in continuing to be ambassadors for Christ.
But there's such little things, you know, and we talked about that, you and I did earlier this week, maybe it was even the end of last week, that it's not these giant things that are coming at us that we could see clear as day. That's not really what we're experiencing in the world of attacks. What we are consistently seeing are these very small things. And small piece by small piece by small piece, he digs in and chips away at you. They become big over time when they start collecting. But what we realized was that, and I think this might have been kind of exactly how I put it, that you and I are in a place right now that I think is fairly, you know, together, same page, aligned. We're trusting God with where we're at. We're using the word of the Spirit and the spirit of the sword to arm and equip us. We're putting on the armor, doing the things, but that created a barrier on the outside. So we were well protected from an outside attack. We were well protected from what we could see coming. And Satan knew that. But what I think we left a vulnerability to, and this was my admission, was from the very inside, from the core. And that's where he came in. He started hitting little bitty things inside of our family, inside of our extended family, inside of our small friend groups, and started hitting those core parts and pieces.
Yeah.
And it hurt. It hurt because we felt off guard. You know, I was not expecting that, but here it is. And so it created some of those barriers for us to learn from, and we're still kind of working through that. And that's a learning lesson. But
there's been so much peace in the pause. And again, finding confidence to walk in our walk with God and know that he is guiding us and not allowing the world to dictate who we should be. Like, it's okay to pause. It's okay to just, I am the quick, I this is something that I've really had to train myself, because being in the last career I was in, you were on constant go in the mortgage world. Every phone call, every text, you are always on, and it is something that I have to diligently work at to not be accessible to everyone at all times. Like, it is okay to not immediately respond, because actions lead, feelings follow. When I get a message and my flesh wants to immediately respond in emotion, I need to stop. I need to pray, and I need to allow the Holy Spirit to guide me and discern and provide me with discernment on what to say, how to say it. And sometimes things just don't need to be said. And that's okay too. And it's all stuff that we're learning, whether it's in a multitude of relationships. It's God has a plan for all of our lives, and He has a plan in a way that He's using us. But the one thing that I never want to be guilty of, the one thing that I never, ever, ever, I do not want to stand at the gates of heaven and in my day of judgment and have God say to me, "Did you do this?" And they turned away. I don't want to be the cause of anybody walking away from Jesus. So I'm so cautious. I'm so cautious of how I am representing God in how we handle life, whether it's business, whether it's family, whether it's our friends, neighbors. I mean, I just feel like I'm so much more aware now of how my actions can affect somebody else and how my words can.
And again, to spin that back into the place of gratitude and positivity, when you center yourself so intimately around that, it becomes your natural response. It becomes your first reaction to things of, hey, what's the upside here? What's the goodness in this? And people consistently can find you as a place of a breath of fresh air, because they know if they come to person X, it's like, hey, they're going to be able to sift through this junk real quick, and they're going to come out on the other side with me, because I know they're going to see the half glass full for a moment.
Yeah.
And if we really stop to examine the power of gratitude and the power of being thankful, it really will change and refocus how we go about our day.
Right.
And it's been a, you know, we've talked about it several times. I've made the admissions that I am naturally probably a pessimistic and negative person. It's a natural place for me to exist. And so I have to fight very hard against becoming just a clog of the mix and not contributing to negativity. It is, I think we can agree, maybe you don't agree, but it is for me so much easier to be negative than it is to be positive. Like, I can pick something apart walking into it without even trying.
Yeah, but you've done a great job recently of really, I think that some of the things that you have changed in really starting your day in the Word, it's really been something for the last several months that you have consistently done. If I'm being honest, it's probably the first time in our marriage that I've watched you be so consistent in the Word on your own. It's that's your time, that's your space, and how you choose to do it. It's, I know that I have a mirror full of sticky notes that I get to join in a little piece when you share with me in those that morning time. So I think that God is really, really working on your spirit and helping you. But yes, it's intentional. You have to be intentional. And I think it's not so, the negativity isn't as controlling in your life as it once was. And again, I think that's where your priorities are and how you are reframing and changing your relationship with God.
You have your Bible with you?
Yes.
You mind checking out Proverbs 15:13 for me? I wrote mine in like secondhand in my notebook because I was struggling to keep up, and I don't want my secondhand note here to misrepresent the verse. I'm hoping my notes match what the actual Bible verse says. This is something that stuck out. I won't take credit for it. It's obviously the Bible.
Proverbs.
That's my 15:13. But our pastor, Pastor Derek, did, you know, laid this out as part of his message this week, which was primarily centered around gratitude. What's Proverbs 15:13 say?
In my NLT version, it says, "A glad heart makes a happy face. A broken heart crushes the spirit."
So I did write it correctly. Good. We don't have to worry about the broken part. Well, let's not focus on that. But that first part really, I mean, it hit me hard. A glad heart makes a happy face. It's literally telling you that when you fill your inside, when you allow yourself to be fulfilled and allow that absolute Christ-like spirit to just emanate out of you, it's literally going to be what people see. It is now the calling card for Jesus.
And listen to the next two verses. "A wise person is hungry for knowledge, while the fool feeds on trash. For the despondent, every day brings trouble. For the happy heart, life is a continual feast."
I mean, there's just so much goodness to unpack in life. And yes, there are things that suck. You know, I don't want to say that every single thing that occurs in life is going to be roses. And we've had some major valleys that we've had to go through. I know we have friends and family right now, and there's people across the nation that are dealing with hardened circumstances,
so
government
much,
shutdowns,
yes.
Jobs in question.
Jamaica, I mean, and a hurricane right now that is just
there are things that are beyond our control, but there are things that are never outside of God's control. It's never not a part of what He has in some way, shape, or form. And when we allow ourselves to constantly to sift through the things and the events of life and figure out where a point of positivity exists, it allows you to get through the harder times.
For sure.
Because you can see it. And then when you get to the other side, you can look back and you can say, I think the only thing that got me through was this piece of it that I was able to extract. And sometimes that may be the lesson learned. It's like, I wouldn't have been able to show you the positive in this if there was no trouble.
Right.
And
well, it's easy. It's really easy to be happy when things are going your way, right? It's easy when life is good and bills are paid and, you know, just everyone's healthy and life is good and there are no trials.
Then there's the Job life where it's like,
yeah.
Okay, let's see how happy you are now.
Yeah.
Let's see how close you are to your God now.
But God already knows. Like, He already knows, and He trusts that whatever it is, that whatever trial He's going to place in my way, He knows that I'm going to overcome it, and He knows that it's going to grow us. So it's like, okay, God, I'm ready. And that comes with a risk. It's like when you say, God, send me, you're asking for the trials, you're asking for the hardships, because that's where the growth is coming from. So a lot of people don't want to ask for that because it's like, nope, I'm good just where I'm at. And I sit here after a week of really wrestling with some things, and I can still sit here in peace because I know that I've not shot off my mouth in ways that I shouldn't have. I've not allowed my emotions to affect my responses. I know that I've allowed God in places and spaces to be honored and glorified. And whether or not other people receive that, that's not my realm to control. And I think that's also the difference, is if we are confident in knowing that we are walking in God's footsteps and that we are doing and saying and praying and believing, sometimes other people may not see it that way, and that's okay. We just have to know that God's moving us in a way that we're honoring Him in whatever it is that we're doing.
The last thing I'll rip off from the pastor's sermon this week. He's got good stuff, man. If you're not into it, check him out. Pastor Derek, High Point Church. I mean, he really is an amazing, talented speaker, but he went through a kind of a picture of the phone and how some of us take pictures with our phone. And there's a couple different modes on there. And one of those modes is portrait mode.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I,
we
had a photography business way back when. And one of the most favorite shots that we ever did was that in focus, out of focus shot where you're able to put the subject close enough to the lens to where they become the absolute focal point. But in order to focus on that one specific human or object in there, everything else behind them becomes out of focus. And it's a gorgeous setting. The portrait mode does that. And kind of where he was pointing to this was, you know, you can live life in landscape mode or in everything mode where you absorb everything all at one time and it's very overwhelming. It can be chaotic. You're going to get to see the good with the bad. It's all there. And sometimes it can just take you to a level of, I don't know what to do with my hands right now. Mm-hmm. But you can dial that down to portrait mode. You can hone your eyes. You can look towards the God that we serve and the plans that he puts in place for us. And that can become the absolute focal point. And the rest of it just kind of blurs out.
Yep.
It doesn't mean it's not there, but it means that it's not impacting your view right now. And if you can't see it, you're probably not focusing on it. And if you're not focusing on it, it means that you are focusing on something else. And when you allow yourself that opportunity to really check your focal point, I think it will change.
And if your focal point is on gratitude, everything else is blurred. So if you are focused on being grateful in all the ways, then all of the other things go blurry and they're not as in your face.
Right.
So, you know, I always think the sermons are wonderful and so many great things are shared. Just and I've been able to share them in a multitude of conversations that I've had over the last week, and just the growth and how, you know, being grateful even in the seasons of hardships, being grateful and being bitter can't exist at the same time.
They cannot maintain the same space.
And that is so true. You know, when you're going through trials, when you're going through situations, whether it's around you, whether it's personally directly with you, whatever the case may be, those two gratefulness and bitterness cannot coexist. So if you're being grateful, you know, it's softening.
There is a difference between, you know, thankfulness and gratitude. One is, you know, kind of an emotion. Thankfulness, I'm thankful for these things, and hey God, thank you so much for filling the blanks right there.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be thankful. But gratitude is an action.
Choice.
It's how you choose to live. It's not a singular thing. It's not an emotion. It's not just a point, you know. Gratitude is an embodiment. Gratitude is an entire perspective moving forward.
I choose to live a life of gratitude. That's from the moment you wake up until the moment you go to bed, you're genuinely emanating a spirit of gratitude and joy in all that you do and all that is around you. It doesn't mean that we have to like circumstances. It doesn't mean that we have to like things that are happening to our loved ones or situations that our loved ones are in or our friends, family, the country for that matter.
But God gives us the room to give those grievances to him.
That's right.
He doesn't ask us to hang on to them. He doesn't even condemn us for having these thoughts and emotions. He just simply says, if you get to that point, bring those to me now.
That's kind of like the scripture you read this morning. In Habakkuk. I don't know if that's how you say it. We've debated the pronunciation of that today. We should probably go to AI or Google Chat or ChatGPT, whatever the heck they are, and ask them how to speak these names. But the whole book of Habakkuk is about his complaints.
This guy's ticked off.
Yes, he's
ticked off with God.
Yes,
in particular.
He's like, I cannot understand why these nations are full of evil. And God, why are you bringing evil? I'm gonna pull it up because there were a couple of verses that were really stood out. But let me get it up here. Habakkuk's a very short book, by the way. So if you want to read it, it doesn't take a lot of time. So as Habakkuk's complaining about all of these things, the Lord's reply in Habakkuk 1 5, it says, the Lord replied, look around at the nations, look and be amazed, for I am doing something in your own day, something you wouldn't believe even if someone told you about it. I found that so interesting, and I think we can apply it now. Like, if God were to tell you all of his plans right now, would you believe it?
Nope.
Would you go down the route of being obedient?
It would be probably hard. It'd be hard for me to believe.
I mean, if 2 years ago God said, you guys are going to grow your business to where you outgrow the space you're in, you're growing into new space, you're going to have new ventures and new exciting things off of these, like, I would have been like, you've lost your mind. Nope. Podcasting, what is that? Like, it just would have been.
By the way, I think I was right earlier when I told you it was Habakkuk, according to the Google.
Really?
Yeah.
I like Habakkuk better. Why do we have silent Ks? That's way too many Ks.
You can say it both ways, it says, but it says the normal people probably understand Habakkuk.
Normal people?
I guess. I mean,
so am I abnormal? I'm in the abnormal.
I've been saying it for years.
Thanks. Okay. Well, I'm saying Habakkuk because, you know, that's what I like.
But the guys
in chapter 2, he then, Habakkuk, goes on to say, I will climb up to my watchtower and stand at my guard post. There I will wait to see what the Lord says and how he will answer my complaint.
He didn't say prayer because it wasn't like, hey, I'm going to wait for my prayer. This guy said complaint. The word says complaint. It means complaint. Because we have a God that we serve that is more than capable of taking that from us.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably not all he wants to hear.
So down here I love this study Bible so, 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 so much. Like, I absolutely love it. So to go down in the notes of that verse, so Habakkuk 2:1, it says in the notes, the watchman on his watchtower was an image often used by the prophets to show an attitude of expectation. The picture of a watchman illustrates Habakkuk's attitude of patient waiting and watching for God's response. Stone watchtowers were built on city walls or ramparts so that watchmen could see people, enemies, or messengers approaching their city while still at a distance. Watchtowers were also erected in vineyards to help guard the ripening grapes. Habakkuk wanted to be in the best position to receive God's message. We should also pay extra attention as we wait for God's answers when we pray. Listen for what he has to say and watch for what he will do in response to your prayers.
I love it.
Love it. Love it. I just feel like this was...
Well, this is what we needed today. Like, we need it, right? I think you and I can climb to a watchtower, but we have some very unique situations within some of our very close family members that are going through some junk right now. And I feel like it's a word that God put into our lives that allows us to share that with others.
Yes, absolutely.
And say, listen, right now I know you might be in the valley.
Mm-hmm.
Climb to your watchtower. Present your grievances to God. Let it out there. Give it to him. Lay it at his feet. Don't carry the weight of this anymore.
But then position yourself in the watchtower to be expectant to receive.
Right. You have to transition from what it is that's the junk. And then you have to go right back over to that positive mindset of gratitude and say, but while I'm here, I'm going to find what it is that you are doing for me. I did breathe a breath of lungs into my lung. You know, I did breathe today. I woke up today. I have food today. I do have these members of my family today. Pick a number of things. I'm sure if you just do a 360 exactly where you are standing right now, unless you're driving, don't do a 360. But if you just do a 360 where you are right now, I guarantee there is something that you can look around and say, oh, that right there. Thank you, God, for that one thing.
Yeah.
And if you can only do one thing, that's fine, but it's one more thing than that you were just thinking about.
That's right.
One turns to two, two turns to three, and then this cycle is going to just continue to grow.
Right.
And you're retraining your brain. You're retraining those neural pathways to consistently root themselves in gratitude, in positivity, and goodness.
And we have to retrain our physical bodies to not be so impulsive, to say, I am naturally going into the word. We had a situation week before last, I think, that you had some conversation with people. And when we were talking about it, I kind of got really, really anxious because I'm like, no, this is not true. It led us right into I immediately got the word out and we immediately started searching. Like, this is not right. This is not right. And I'm finding myself when conflicts or things are coming at us, what does the word say about
that? What's the one thing that doesn't change? What's the one thing that's not an opinion? What's the one thing that we know is divine? What is the one thing that we know is the living word? This book is more than a book. It's not a self-help guide. It's not somebody's, I think I figured out my life this way and I wrote some cool deal. Like, this is the thing that is standing the test of time. Yes. This is the absolute static point that we can leverage for balance and equality that says, don't take my word for it. Why don't we take God's or Jesus's word for it?
And there's no situation that we can't, of course, not everything is going to be specifically written in the Bible that is going to be specific to our circumstances, because we're all so unique. But there is not a circumstance that we cannot go in here if we're grieving, if we're sad, if we're excited and happy, if there's division, if there's lack of unity, if you're looking for clarity, if you're looking for financial wisdom, knowledge, all of it is in here.
It is.
Every single answer you can find is in here. And I think that's what has changed so much about our life.
But you really have to humble yourself to realize what is in front of you.
That's right. That's right.
You have to take yourself out of the equation for a minute. Let me see what it is that God has placed before me, and have the eyes to see. And sometimes that needs to be the very, very beginning point of your prayer. Is to say, God, I'm really not here right now, but I want to be.
Yeah.
Give me the eyes to see.
Yeah.
Direct me in the path right now where I can go in the word to be able to find and see and connect with your message.
Yep.
And I think when that, like you said, when that becomes the routine and that becomes the default, the backstop, just go right to it.
That's where the roots come in. When you're rooted in God's word.
That's some tree of life living right there.
That's you just want to go back, because then it's not me. When you're helping someone through that hard time, whether it's a friend, whether it's a family member, whether it's a coworker. When you are working through something that is a hardship, it's not my word. Let's go to His word.
That's right.
Because then when we're talking about who says what, this isn't Chrissy's opinion. This isn't Kenny's opinion. This is God's word. God says, this is what you are to do. And when you solely are relying on that, it changes.
This is the portrait mode.
Yeah.
This is what will mute out the rest of the noise for a little bit.
Absolutely.
And allow you to have a very specific and finite picture.
Yep. Absolutely.
Well, we've talked a lot. We got to the end of our session. Probably keep going for another.
I walked in here like, what are we talking about today?
You ask me every time. I'm like, let's just go with it. Button turns red and off we go.
Yes.
Well, I'm gonna fire off some music and do some prayer for us.
Okay.
And get us closed out.
Okay.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you today in a place of just thankfulness and gratitude, God. We come to you in a place of just respect and honor for the things that you continue to put in front of us. God, for Chrissy and I, we are so thankful just in this moment to have a space that we can talk to others, that we can share our life with others, that we can share the goodness that you put into our lives, God, that we can share the calamity and the chaos that we go through sometimes. Because if for nothing else, if we can struggle for something to save somebody else a step in your plan,
yes,
then God, we're here for that. And I know that so many others are too. God, we're thankful for families that are healing. We're thankful for a word that we know that is true, that is helping us through those things, God. We're thankful for kids that are able to learn through difficulties of even broken backs along the way, God, and just life that continues to go, but we know that you are governing that life at the ultimate peak and the ultimate level, God.
Mm-hmm.
But we're thankful to know that it doesn't matter what we see in our government, in our world, in any of the things that look like it's just destroying itself. God, you are at the absolute pinnacle of all of that. And none of this happened without the stroke of your pen. God, this isn't a surprise to you. There's nothing that is happening. Anybody that is hearing the other end of this transmission finding themselves in something bad, it's not by accident. It's not something that just fell out of nowhere. God, you have a plan for their life, Lord. For whomever is listening right now, somebody needs to hear this, God. There's somebody that is in the middle of something. Let them hear right now, God, that you are there and that you are going to get them through it, God. And if nothing else, this is going to build a dependency and a relationship with you.
Yes.
And so, God, we're thankful, so very thankful for your presence for us, God, so that we can come to you with anything that we got, that we can drop the good, the bad, and the ugly on top of you. And you just, with open arms, you say, give it to me. There's no reason for you to take that. There's no reason for you to carry that around. If you'll just give it to me, I'll deal with it. And I'll let you go out there and keep being the person that I have you designed to be. So God, we pray for a continued elevation of gratitude. God, we pray for greatness in each of the strokes of life that we're in right now. And God, we are so thankful to get to share and do lives.
Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this time. I thank you for Kenny and the growth in our marriage, the leader that he is, God. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you give us wisdom as we have family and friends that are so in spaces and places, God, that they need you. Lord, that you will use us and use others to glorify you, that the wisdom and knowledge and the words that come out of our mouths are the Holy Spirit speaking in and through us and not us, Lord God, that our hearts are seen, that you are seen in all that yes. we say and do, God, in all the ways, from the closest of relationships to those that are farther away, God. You know how heavy they are in our hearts right now. And I pray, Lord, that you just use us, that you use us in a way that is soft, that is gentle, that will lead our loved ones to you, not to us, God, but to you, that we will be an example, that we will live out your word just the way that you call us to live it out, God. That you'll place people in our lives and opportunities for conversations and connections, God, to heal hearts. God, marriages are being attacked all around us. So many marriages are being broken and pulled apart by the enemy's attempts to divide. And God, we're standing strong and firm on your word that these relationships will reconcile, that healing will be found, that hearts will be open to hear, that hearts will be softened to forgive. God, that we can just be one little piece of joy and light to help walk this path with those that we love, God. Continue to guide us. Continue to use us as a vessel to bring people to you. For each and every person that is listening, God, I pray that these words that we speak, the authenticity that this space allows us to show, God, that it will just be encouragement for someone else, for others who are in a place of struggle right now. Maybe it's hard to see the glass half full, God. But like Kenny said, just I pray for that one thing in their life that will be a light, that one thing that they can be thankful for, to grow from, to heal, to just see you, God. Thank you so much. So much for this outlet and this way to reach others, God. Bless our hands, bless our hearts, and bless this time, God.
Well, babe, that was an amazing way to finish. Yes. I love feeling when the Spirit comes on us.
Yes. Until next time.
It's been a pleasure.
Till 21 is next.
Number 21. Absolutely, guys. Till the next one.
All right. Bye.
Bye.